Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
He is faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Your heads. God, we come to you and just give you thanks and praise for this day. We pray just watch over Second Mile Church today, Lord. We're so thankful for all that you have done. We pray that we can just go out and find the lost and the hurt and the sick and the suffering, Lord. We pray we just give us strength to go spread your words. We pray that you just forgive us for our sins today, Lord. Help us to be better stewards of you. We pray for Brother Cal today that he can go out and teach your words. Just speak through him and give him strength. We're so thankful for all that you've done and to be able to stand here and to just give you everything, Lord. Pray, just watch over us. Give us strength. Help us to do your will. We praise us through your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Adam. We are going to be in a different place in Isaiah for the majority of the morning. But we're going to start off this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. And the reason for that is this has been my prayer for all of us today. We're looking at different issues as we move through this year of getting free in 23. Last week we looked at the issue of bitterness and getting free from a bitter spirit. And this morning we're going to look at freedom from stress and anxiety. I won't ask for a show of hands, but this is a stress-filled world that we're living in. So let's all rise for the blessing of God's Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Father, that is my prayer for Second Mile Church today. For every family, for every individual, for every child, for every adult. God, would you give us your peace always, that lasts for all of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now for the rest of the morning, we're going to be in Isaiah 40, and I hope this message will speak to us today. I have a preacher friend. I got a lot of preacher friends, but I got a preacher friend that says this quite often: I'm too blessed to be stressed. Well, I understand what he's saying, but my, that's an amazing statement when you start thinking about the stress-filled world that we live in, right? And stress-related feelings like anxiety, pressure, tension, burdens can be your constant companions. I ran across some stats from the American Institute of Stress this week. And I want you to listen to these statistics about stress and anxiety. 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. 73% of people have stress that affects their mental health. 48% of people have trouble sleeping due to stress. 75% of Americans have experienced, listen to this, moderate to high stress levels in the past month. The number one health concern for high school students is, guess what? Stress. 80% of people feel stress when they're at work. Y'all do work, right? All right. Listen to this. Illnesses and injuries associated with stress are estimated to cost us $300 billion annually. Wow. And so as I talk to people in and out and through the weeks, I've come to an understanding that people would say that the future of our nation is a significant source of stress. America has been in the perfect storm the last 3 years of COVID-19, economic uncertainty, traumatic events related to racial tension and division, school shootings, and political unrest. Stress and anxiety are taking a tremendous toll on us. So, just exactly what is stress? I've looked at a bunch of definitions of stress this week, and here's the one that I think fits the best. I like it better. Basically, stress is the difference between what we face and what we think we can face. You got your thinking caps on? It's basically what we believe we must do versus what we believe we can do. Okay? Now, almost 3,000 years ago, there's this great prophet by the name of Isaiah, and he gave some advice to his nation that was suffering from a crushing blow of stress. The 12 tribes of Israel, I need to set the table here, give you a little history, had formed two separate kingdoms. After King Solomon had died, the 12 tribes wound up splitting and dividing. And 10 tribes formed what was known as the Northern Kingdom of Israel, and the two other tribes formed the Southern Kingdom of Judah. Sadly, both kingdoms fell into spiritual decline. They began to live in rebellion against God and His Word. They wouldn't listen to God's prophets. And this spiritual decline lasted about 350 years after the death of King Solomon, until 722 B.C., the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians and they were led into exile. The southern kingdom lasted a little bit longer, 136 years to be exact, and then the temple was destroyed and the holy city of Jerusalem was left desolate. And Isaiah rose to speak to the nation of Judah. He gave a prophetic voice to the nation of Judah after Israel had fallen to Assyria. And he's speaking to the folks that lived in and around Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. But you know, the storm clouds were rising now in Judah. The future looked very bleak. Judgment wasn't just on the way, it was everywhere. Does this sound familiar? It sure does to me. And here's the deal, y'all. God knows our stress limits. Let me say it over here. God knows our stress limits. Well, there's one. Okay. Have y'all not gotten to know me over the last 5 years? I've got to know if I'm communicating with y'all, and I've got to have some feedback. All right? Help us, Jesus. All right. God also knew Isaiah's stress limits, and He knew the people's stress limits. And here's what God did. He gave His word to Isaiah, God's prophet, and He gave him a reminder during this stress-filled time of the nation of Israel. He reminded him of who he is and what he can do. And this is a powerful message to us today, Second Mile, from the Word of God. And so this morning, we've got a divine prescription for stress and anxiety when life becomes unbearable. And if you're not there yet, bless God, hold on, you're going to get there. That's where we are as a nation. And so we've got this divine prescription from the Word of God, from the great big heart of God. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't wait to hear it. All right, here's the first thing. Now, let me remind you again, we're in Isaiah chapter 40. And there's three tremendous truths about God and what He can do when we're under stress and anxiety. And here's the first one. We need to turn our eyes to our omnipotent God. How many of you know He's all-powerful? How many of you know He can do anything? Hallelujah. And so that's the first key to dealing with stress. Turn your eyes to our omnipotent God. Look at verse 25 in Isaiah 40. Somebody's going to get this and just have a running spell. I know it. To whom they will liken me? To whom then will they liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Now watch this. He says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. What things? Who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing. And so God tells Isaiah, you go tell my people to go outside at night and look up. Now, when you're outside at night and you look up, unless there's a thunderstorm going on, what do you see? Stars. Mike and Donna have been to Costa Rica this week. And I've been down there 6 times on mission trips. And I remember being in Costa Rica at night. And you could look up and see thousands and thousands and thousands of stars at night down there. And you know why that is? Because there's very little pollution in the air. And there's very few electric lights shining at night in most places in Costa Rica. And so when you look up, you see all this. All you see is a clear, clean sky. And why would God tell Isaiah to tell His people to go outside and look up? Because who can you compare to God? Who is His equal? Who created all the stars? I mean, God calls the stars by names and tells them when to come out and shine for His glory. And not one of them's missing. They're all there every time. And by the way, listen to this. I did some more searching. Astronomers tell us that you can see about 9,000 stars in the evening with your visible eyes. But there's a whole lot more stars than that because we've got great high-powered telescopes and that kind of thing. And there are around 3 septillion stars. Septillion. That's 3 with 24 zeros after it. Hello? In the Milky Way galaxy. But it gets even larger than that. The Hubble Space Telescope indicates that there's probably around 2 trillion other galaxies beside the Milky Way galaxy. How many stars are in them? Who knows? But I want to tell you, God calls every one of those septillion stars out. He calls them by name and they shine for His glory. Now, listen to this. If God can call the stars to come out and keep them in their places, if God can keep the planets in orbit and run this universe like a Swiss watch, don't you think He can handle the situation that we're in? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the first key to getting free from stress is to look up at our all-powerful God. Hallelujah. He will move on behalf of His people when we look to Him. Here's the second key, though. Not only are we to turn our eyes to our omnipotent, our all-powerful God, we're to tune our ears to our omniscient God. First, we're to open our eyes and look to God. Second, we're to open our eyes and listen to God. I said, listen. This is for me. And Isaiah asked this question. Look at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Now listen to this. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And bless God, I love verse 29. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Glory to God. And so the people of God in the nation, they're asking these questions. Where is the Lord? And Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God of the universe. He's the creator. And He never gets tired. He never grows weary. And by the way, His understanding is unfathomable. Glory to His name. And He gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. Is there anybody here that's weary? Anybody here getting weak from time to time? Well, our great God is the all-seeing, all-knowing. He has infinite knowledge. And he's got all the understanding. By the way, you can't teach God anything because He's the only know-it-all. Hallelujah. He knows everything. He sees everything. He is the omniscient God. And so the nation was under tremendous stress. They were about to be taken over by pagan people. The Babylonians were coming. They would be removed from their country and everything that they loved would be destroyed. And they're asking, doesn't God know what's going on? What is God doing? Doesn't He hear my prayers? Does He even care? Well, He knows and He understands everything. We might not know what we're doing, but bless God, He knows what He's doing. Now, I ran across this. Maybe you're all stressed out. I would think from Luke all the way over to Brian, all in between, there's some folks here that are dealing with a lot of stress. You're anxiety-ridden. And just in case you don't know, I ran across a stress inventory this week. Are y'all ready for this? Because if you score 150 points on this stress inventory within a year's time, you're about to have a physical breakdown. Oh, I know you didn't come to hear this, but listen. Listen. A stress inventory reveals that the death of a spouse is 100 points. Y'all with me? Okay? Check. All right, a divorce, 73 stress-related points. A major illness, which some of you all have had lately, 53 points. Being fired or laid off from your job is 47 stress-related points. Moving to a new place, to a new location, is 45 points. And listen, even a major holiday like Christmas carries 12 stress-related points with that. And so an accumulation of 150 points in a year can lead to a major health breakdown. Let me just speak to everybody here this morning. Listen to me. Lean in. If your stress is through the roof, if you're exhausted, and you're ready to pack it in and hang it up, you remember, He's the God of unlimited knowledge. He's the God of infinite wisdom and understanding. And y'all know this, but we just need to be reminded of this from time to time. He has all power. He has all strength. He never gets tired. He never takes a break. Bless God, He never goes on vacation. He's not confused. He's not perplexed. He knows what He's doing. And He provides strength for the weary. And He provides power for the weak. Give God praise today. So open your eyes and look up. Open your ears and listen up. Here's the last one. Now, this one's a little bit tougher, okay? Yield your efforts. Yield, surrender your efforts to our omnipresent God. Omnipresent means He's everywhere, okay? Now, when I'm under stress, I'm like most men. I want to fix it. And I want to fix it right now. And some of you girls are like that. We're Home Depot people. We want to fix everything, right? Well, there's some things you don't need and can't fix. But there isn't anything that our God can't fix. And when you're under stress, you know, it just seems like you want that problem fixed right now. I'll even go to God and tell Him, Lord, I need You to fix this situation. And by the way, if you're not too busy, can You fix it right now? Right? Am I reading y'all right? All right. So I'm not the only goofball in the, well, anyways. Now, these next few words might not make you real happy. Look at verse 31 in Isaiah 40. But those who, say that next word, wait on the Lord. We're just supposed to wait. What do you mean wait? I'm falling apart. My whole world's coming down, and you want me to wait? Now, waiting on the Lord doesn't mean you do nothing. It means that you quit trying to fix everything yourself. It means to wait on Him. And while you're waiting, you keep serving Jesus. You keep giving. You keep getting involved in missions. You keep praying. You keep witnessing and sharing the gospel. It doesn't mean that you quit everything. It just means that you abandon your efforts to help God out. That's what wait means. Y'all with me? And by the way, while you're waiting, tell the Lord how dependent on Him you are. I mean, He's the everlasting God. He's the creator of the universe. And tell Him that without Him, if He doesn't move on your behalf, you're hopeless and helpless. And tell Him, say, Lord, I don't understand all this. But You're all powerful, and You're all knowing, and You're all seeing, and there ain't anywhere where You are not. And so I'm just going to wait on You because You got a better plan than I do, and I know You're working on my behalf for my good and Your glory. Did y'all hear that? Did this section right here hear that? God is working on your behalf for your good and His glory in every situation. That's Romans 8:28. That'd be a good one, by the way, to go memorize. Romans 8:28. God's working for our good. He says, wait on Me. Now, I had trouble with it. He said, look again at verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord, watch this. Lean in. Get this. Don't miss it. Shall renew their strength. He gives strength to the weary. Woo! They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now, I'm going to address that here in just a second because I don't know what eagles have to do with stress. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, what do eagles have to do with stress and the storms of life? Well, did y'all know that eagles, a full-blown mature eagle, has over 7,000 feathers? And they have the ability to lock these massive wings that they have, which helps them to fly above the storms. They can fly at altitudes of 10,000 feet. 10,000 feet. And they can fly with those massive wings at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. Eagles don't fear the storms because they fly higher and faster than the storms. And here's the application right here. As long as we're flying with God, you don't have to fear the storm either. You don't have to break down under all the stress because He's over every storm. And as you're moving through the storms of life, you put one foot in front of the other and you look up and understand that God is at work and you listen to Him, understanding that He has infinite wisdom and He's got all the knowledge and complete understanding, and He's going to intercede on your behalf and give you strength when you're weary and worn out and exhausted and tired. And He is going to give you power in your weakness if you'll look up, listen up, and wait on Him. You could go see some psychiatrist and some seminar, and they'd charge you $500 to hear what you've just heard. I'm giving y'all gospel truth here. This comes from the Word of God. This is how we handle stress and anxiety. Hallelujah. Now, as we do these things, we fly higher than the storms, we fly faster than the storms, and we walk longer than the storms. I love Dr. James Merritt. He's a great friend of mine. He doesn't need me from Adam. He pastors a huge church down in Atlanta, down in Duluth, Georgia. And he was our Southern Baptist Convention president back in 2001. He's done probably four or five men's conferences for me. He and I are good friends. He calls me and he prays for Second Mile Church regular. But he told me this story about our president, George W. Bush, who was in office when those twin towers came tumbling down. And he called in all the major leaders, spiritual leaders, to the Oval Office. And so Dr. Merritt's told me this story time and time again. And here's what I've come to understand about September the 11th of 2001. How many of you were alive on 9/11? You remember that? And, well, those of you that weren't need to get a history book and learn what happened. Major, major stuff. And I will never forget how President Bush, now you may not agree with, you know, with his political persuasion, but let me tell you, no U.S. president has ever faced greater stress in the last 70 years than President George W. Bush did on September the 11th of 2001. And I'll never forget the day. I think it was just a couple of days later after the towers came tumbling down when he showed up at Ground Zero. Y'all remember that? I mean, the place was still smoking. There was rubble everywhere. All of those first responders were tired and worn out and exhausted and weary and covered with all kinds. And he grabbed a megaphone that day and he gave one of the most inspiring speeches to those first responders. And they began to chant, USA, USA, USA. You remember that? But here's what I wanted you to know. Dr. Merritt told me this. When George W. Bush was taking his oath for office, for his second term, he had his Bible and he placed his hand on Isaiah 40, 31. As he was taking his oath for office. Stress is coming our way. Anxiety. The storms of life are going to hit you. There's situations happening right in here today, and I don't understand all of it. But I have come here today to tell you all, our great God can handle anything. And it's a lie. Somebody, I have people tell me this all the time. Well, God will never put more on you than you can stand. That's a lie. He will allow things to happen that you can't handle. But there isn't anything He can't handle. And if we'll continue to look up to Him and we will listen to Him, if we'll turn our eyes upon Him and tune our ears to Him and quit trying to fix everything and just wait on Him by faith, God will step in and He'll deliver you through the time you've got to get through. Let's pray together. Lord, I just think back on my life, and there have been times, many times, I've had tough things happen, experienced tremendous loss, didn't understand, and that's where my faith kicked in. Sometimes I passed the test well, and other times I didn't. But Father, as we began this morning in prayer from 2 Thessalonians 3:16, I pray that You would give us Your peace today. Always, that Your peace might be upon us. And I pray for the most discouraged, depressed, downtrodden person that's here today. I lift up the most stress-filled, anxious, burdened family that's here today, and give them the hope that is only found in Jesus. Help us to look to You. Help us to listen to Your Word. And God, help us to wait on You, because You've got a bigger plan than we do. If you're here this morning, and I know you are, and you're burdened, you've got some real issues, and maybe it's causing physical problems or mental problems or emotional problems or even spiritual problems, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to let us pray for you. Well, I don't want anybody to know. Well, then you won't get prayed for. But if you need prayer and you need for God to set you free from something that we've been talking about this morning, I want to just ask people all over the room to come to an old-fashioned altar. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That's what it says. And we'd love to pray for you that God would set you free and that He'd give you the strength and the courage and the wisdom to wait on Him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. And then there's some other folks that are here. You need Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know it, and God knows it. And right now is your time. God's speaking to your heart. And if you'll be willing to confess your sin to God, just agree with Him that your life is a mess and that your sins have separated you from Him. But if you would just agree with God and thank Him for paying the price for all your sin on a cross 2,000 years ago, and then just believe that God's raised Him from the dead, and you'd surrender your heart and life to Him today by calling on His name, God will save you. And you can be born again right here today. If you need to do that today, do it right now where you sit. And in just a moment, when these others are coming forward for prayer, I want you to come forward and grab one of us and tell them, I've prayed to receive Christ today. I've done that. Father, may this not be a time of looking around. May this be a time of inner examination. And I pray, God, for those who are burdened here today. My heart's burdened. I ask, God, that you would lead people by faith to come and get set free today from all this mess that we're under. In Jesus' name, quietly, if you'd like to get free from your stress and anxiety, we would love to pray for you right here. We'd love to pray for you. But you got to take the first step. And so quietly and reverently, let's all stand. And before Andrew sings the first word or the first note of this song, just step out and come. If my deacons and wives, would y'all come forward to pray for folks? Just step out and come right now. The altar's open right now. Just come. Father, bless us as we come now. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name and for His sake. That's right. Just step out and come. Folks are coming for prayer. Deacons, if y'all would spread out across the way here. Here's a couple that needs prayer. Some of you deacons would come on around here. Y'all just come. I don't care if we're 10 deep. Just come on. We'll pray for you. That's right. Just come on. I need prayer, Pastor. Come on, let us pray for you right now. What are you waiting on? God's got a bigger, better plan than you do. Come on. We'd love to pray for you. Hallelujah. Just pray over these dear people. Pray strength and power over them. We're waiting on you. Come on. Let us pray for you. Maybe there's a situation coming up in your life and you need God's power. Maybe there's an issue and you're weary, you're exhausted, you don't know what to do. You come on. Let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. And prayer is powerful. Come on. That's right. Altar's open. Come on, right now. Hallelujah. Now here's what I want you to do that are still standing out here. I want you to stretch out both arms and hands to these folks who are here. Just right now, come on, get Pentecostal with me. Just stretch out your hands. We're going to touch them spiritually, okay? We're going to pray for everybody here. Stretch out both hands. There's something special about touch. Father, as we reach out and reach up to you, oh God, set us free. Increase our faith. Do what only you can do. In this stress-filled world that we live in, oh God, give us the faith to look up and to listen up and to wait up on you. Bless these who have shown enough courage and boldness to say, I need help. I need prayer. Thank you, Lord, for those who have enough courage to say, I need for you to pray for me. Who are willing. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for others that are in the aisles, God, only you know what needs to be done. Because you have infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge and unlimited understanding. Oh, God, we need you. It is so far past the time we take our mask off and just be real that we're hurting and we need you. God, move on our homes and in our families and in our lives. Minister healing here today. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.